The Dating Show with Pete Wicks and Cece Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
Good afternoon, evening, Pete Wicks. How are you today?
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm really well. How are you?
It's like a game you play in school, is it? Where you don't know how to communicate, so you bounce the ball. So here's the ball, it's your turn to speak, and now you pass it back when it's my turn.
Are we going to do that throughout the entire episode? Over to you.
We're going to have biceps by the end. There you go. It's your turn.
Over to you. I'm really well, babe. How are you? What's happening? How's your week been? Tell me everything.
Do you know what? I feel like making something up because I've got no excitement in my life at the moment. It really, there's just nothing to say apart from a new park that I visited, but I won't go into it because it's boring.
No, listen, we all like to find out what CC does in the park.
I'm going to have to make something up because I haven't got anything, like, nothing.
Where's your new park?
Well, it was Greenwich Park, so it's not quite a new one, but I found a new area of it. I discovered a new section.
So for anyone listening, CC has found a new area of Greenwich Park. That does sound like an exciting week. I've had a very busy week. I'm back to filming. Towie's back.
Yes, it is. How's that going?
I said I was going to have a quiet series. Turns out I'm not.
Really? Why, you've been naughty again. What's going on? What have you done this time?
When am I ever not naughty, babe? When am I ever not naughty? So that's been happening. So yeah, I've had quite a busy week, you know.
Good. Well, at least something exciting is happening.
Well, listen, it doesn't matter how busy the week's been. This is always my favourite part of the week.
Oh, namaste. I'll take that.
Namaste. Namaste. Over to you. Why don't you tell us what's happening today?
So we are going to be chatting about workplace romances.
Interesting one, this one.
I think it is too. So we've got our guest this week is Neil Jones. And so he's from Strictly Come Dancing, isn't he? He's going to be having a little chinwag with us a bit later. So I thought before we go into workplace romances, we should start with dating news.
The weird and wonderful.
I mean, what do we start with this time? There's a lot. So I'm going to go on. If you've got a fave, you go in with yours and then I'll.
I think you probably know which one I'm going to go with, CC. This headline, I mean, I don't even know what to say. We've had some weird chats on this show about people marrying sex dolls and all sorts of stuff. But this lady has, she's entered a relationship with a roller coaster and it has made her finally understand what love is. So this lady from France basically laid eyes on the Sky Scream 5 years ago and had an instant attraction. She admits to having been sexually attracted to objects for a long time, but that her bond with Sky Scream's metal frame is so much more than that.
Wow.
DC discuss.
So personal experience, can't tell you if I've ever had that. I can't say that I've sort of love at first sight or had a sensation anywhere in my body for an object.
So what you said, you've never been wet at Alton Towers.
No, it doesn't really do it for me. Unless it's a log flume. Thanks for that.
It's okay. And
any objects that do it for Pete?
No, I prefer the people that or the things that I'm sexually attracted to have a pulse for a start.
Yeah.
I mean that's generally one of my criteria. There's not much else.
Yeah,
there's not much else other than that, but a pulse is quite important.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean it's just the weirdest thing. She said she spent every moment dreaming of a carnal and fusional relationship with it.
Was it does she get on and like get wet and then like slide around on it and that's like the turn on? Like is that scary though? Because if you're sort of slipping around on a roller coaster, you could slip out.
I don't think it's a slip and slide. And how wet do you think she's getting that she's going to slip out of it?
Well, it's a little bit weird that she already she's in love with a fucking roller coaster. So it wouldn't surprise me if she was very, very wet. That would be my understanding of it anyway.
My favourite line from this story is she said that dating a roller coaster does have its ups and downs.
Oh, God.
But she now understands what love is with a capital L.
Do you know, I'd quite like to know her background. I want to know, has she ever been married? Like, what's the situation? Does she have kids? Does she have cats? Like, what's the situ?
Well, I think she's recently divorced from the Tower of Terror in Florida.
Oh, fucking hell. I mean...
I'm joking. But yeah, I mean, all this story says to me is I want to know all about this woman. She's 43 from France. That's all we know about her. And I can't imagine there are many 43-year-old women in France who are sexually attracted to roller coasters. So she is an anomaly that we want to know more about.
Yeah, let's get on as a guest.
I think that's, we should,
always,
shouldn't we?
Always the way, yeah.
How's your French, Cece?
I wish I could even count to two, but nah, non-existent. How's yours? Only you can say something, can't you?
Est-ce que je peux quitter la table, non? Tu le parles français?
I reckon that means you understand where this woman's coming from in France, and there has been moments in your life that you felt the same, but you're worried to share it in English. That's why you said it in French.
Yeah, I said it in French. That's exactly. Namaste. Namaste. That's exactly what it means. It means I want to fuck a roller coaster in French.
Good, good.
For anyone that's listening that is French, obviously that is not what it means. I just want to clear that up. Should we move on to your story?
Dating
news.
They're all quite exciting to me this week, but I'm going to go with neighbours send mortifying note to remind couple their bedroom walls are paper thin. So I think we can all guess where this is going. So some angry sleep-deprived neighbours sent a mortifying letter to a couple next door to remind them that they can hear everything that goes on in the bedroom due to how thin the walls are. So the letter, it goes on, but the letter went to say in capital letters, please, please, please close your windows when you have sex because it is not... because it's not sexy at all. And this couple have children. So what do you say to the kids when you can hear... Oh, hang on, let's get this right.
Oh, that's a lovely bit of clapping action there.
Good, isn't it? It's good.
Yeah, that's good. Then... do it again for me. No, I'm really enjoying that.
And a groan on top. So a groan and a little scream with that in the background.
What do you want to give us a groan?
No, not doing a groan.
Are you sure?
Do you want to give us a groan?
No,
manly. Go on.
I'm absolutely fine without a groan.
What about a grunt? A little grunt, then. There's a difference.
I've been called a little grunt before. I'm a silent lover.
No, you're not. So that means all you can hear is that, then?
Yeah, I just like to hear the ball slap.
Okay, so what would you say to your children if next door you could just hear the ball slap?
I would ask them if they like WWE and just say that they're wrestling.
Wrestling.
They're just practicing their wrestling moves.
And then they say, well, what was that woman screaming then? Why is she in pain?
She is, because he's beating her very hard.
But I was told at school that that's bad.
Well, as you grow up, you'll realise that it's very, very good. As you can tell, I don't have kids. I'm probably never likely to have them.
Wow, I was going to say, that's brilliant parenting. Wicked. 10 out of 10 for that one.
What would you say? I mean, listen, obviously I work with Sam Thompson quite a bit. And the way he describes sex is kind of how you would describe it to your kids, I think, because he calls it Sexington Bears.
Oh my God, I just shivered. Is that how, so when he walks into the bedroom, that's what he says? Should we have some, what, Sexington Bears?
Yeah, so him and his girlfriend, Zara, they have Sexington Bears. So, and I say to him, how do you bring this up? I mean, that's not particularly sexy, is it? And he says, I just say to her sometimes, Sexington Bears? And it makes me feel a little bit sick.
Oh, wow.
But I imagine that's quite a nice way to describe it to your kids. Sexington Bears, two bears just having a little...
See how you put it back there, yeah. To children, understand, yeah. Education. But... I don't know if I could be with someone who spoke about sex like that. Hey, I mean, Cece, do you fancy
a little bit of sex with some bears?
Hey, Cece
Bear.
Oh God, it's so bad.
The most surprising, not surprising, but the most interesting part of this story for me is the fact that they've put on the note, please, please, please close your door. It's not sexy at all. I'd be really offended if someone had heard me fuck and then go, do you know what? That is really not sexy.
Yeah, I would be as well.
What are they doing?
Highly embarrassed.
Yeah, well, you would, wouldn't you?
I think.
That's what I'd be most pissed off about.
Because we all like to think that we're, you know, brilliant. Yeah, exactly. And everything that comes out in the expression is highly sexy. So if my neighbours, that would be a difficult one. I think I'd just be utterly embarrassed. Shut the door.
Have you ever heard any of your neighbours having sex? I remember you telling us a story about when you lived in New York and the husband and wife couple. The husband and wife who you used to hear having sex all the time. Yeah. How was that for you? Did it turn you on?
I don't know which part was my favourite, when I could hear them consistently all the night that I had my door open and my door backs onto theirs, so I could actually see it going on. And he was eyeballing me whilst giving his wife doggy. So, I don't know which one was better.
So you had a visual to go with the audio?
Yeah, both, yeah. I hadn't imagined anyway, yeah.
Do you think that's the problem here, that they're just disappointed that they don't have the visual to go with it?
Jealous. It's jealousy. Nailed it. It's jealousy.
So that's what we've decided. It's actually got nothing to do with the fact, other than the fact she's obviously not getting any. Is that what we're saying?
100%. Yeah, she's bitter, she's angry, and the kids are upset because they don't hear their own parents doing that.
So shall we move on to this week's guest?
Yeah, let's get on right now, drop it in it.
Also, if you have just tuned in and you wonder what the fuck is going on, you're listening to FUBAR Radio with myself and Cece Coleman, the dating show.
So, workplace romances. I guess my question to you, which is pretty obvious really, because I mean, you clearly had loads and loads and loads, because it's all over the television, isn't it? In your workplace, Tawi, right? There's been a lot of romances. So, tell us, does that make it more awkward, less awkward? What's the situ?
Workplace romances are a nightmare, an absolute nightmare, because if things do go south, and inevitably with me, things do, then you have to continually work with that person and see them every day, and you have to turn up to work. And normally, if you sleep out with someone or it doesn't work out or romance kind of dies, you don't really see that person. You don't have to work with them. You don't have to interact with them. Yeah. So if you end on bad terms, work doesn't become a very fun place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But previous to being on TV, I worked in the city for years and years and years, and I did have a few workplace relationships in the city as well, in an office environment, and they're really awkward.
Was that like you're the boss and they're your assistant vibe?
Possibly.
I was gonna say, I'll take that silence as yes,
possibly.
This is more interesting. Tell us about this.
I've had to sack someone.
What for being a like stalker, like getting too obsessed?
Just basically not completing their job obligations anymore because of their unfounded hatred of me because of a romance that didn't work out.
Wow. So let's just get this right. Right. So you're in the office. Are you the boss? He's the boss. This person obviously idolizes you. Is this person in a relationship? Yes. So this person's in a relationship, you two have your thing, and then you say, look, I'm so sorry, it's, you know, I can't give you anything more than just this. And she's saying, I want to leave my partner for you. And you're all saying no, so then I have to find...
Fucking hell, Cece, were you there?
Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? So I got it. So, but hang on, how do you fire someone for that? What's the term? Because can't they...
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't for fire. That wasn't the reason I fired them. It was a few months after the romance had finished, and they basically just lost all respect for me and just weren't doing their fucking job. It all came down. Yeah, it basically effectively came down to, well, I don't want to work for that prick anymore. He's an arsehole, blah, blah, blah. So I just won't do anything I'm supposed to do. So that's how the P45 came about.
So it kind of made it easier for you in some ways, because at least there's a reason.
Yeah, I mean, it was annoying because she was great at her job before that point. So I kind of fucked it.
I was going to say, what's the lesson here?
The lesson is keep it in your pants. Workplace relationships for me and workplace romances have been a dangerous, treacherous ground that I've walked a few times, and it's never ended particularly well. So I have quite a negative opinion on them. I don't think you should do it. Which I know is really hypocritical of me to say, but it just never seems...
No, but I mean, the thing is, it's if you don't do anything else other than go to work, right, how do you meet people? So I do understand, especially when you're working quite closely together, how do you meet other people if you're, you know, you're just at work? So you're going to create a relationship, you know, friendship, and then maybe into something else.
I think that's the thing. I think it's such an easy way of developing a romance because you are around that. I mean, you spend more time at work a lot of the time than you do at home, mm-hmm. or a lot of the time out. You know, if people are working sort of Monday to Friday or whatever your work schedule may be, you spend more time at work than you probably do relaxing or doing whatever else you're doing. So you actually spend more time with them people than probably anyone else. Mm-hmm. So I can imagine, well, I know how easy it is to develop feelings in a work environment. What's your kind of take on it? I mean, has it happened to you? Have you been involved in a workplace relationship?
Yeah, but I don't quite like, I guess, your situation where someone was with somebody else. I think obviously that makes it even more sticky. I completely get the excitement of it and I completely get the kind of like, oh, it's a secret. You know, I do understand that side of it, but I've never been with someone who's in a relationship already. These have been flings, they've been funny, they've been naughty and silly, and you know, it's never been it's never been a problem for me. Maybe they were longing after me and, you know, staring at me walking past. And
who wouldn't be longing after you, CC? Let's have it right. So what's your kind of feelings on it then? Do you think it's a good idea, a bad idea? Have you got friends that have kind of had awkward situations when it comes to a workplace relationship?
Yeah, I think I don't think I've ever really heard a happy ending. Yeah, I get it. I think it might just be something people need to get out of their systems. You know, it's fun, it's different, it's naughty. So I get the appeal, but I don't.
The thing for me is, I mean, we're talking about it like it's just flings and romances, but you do get couples who work together, live together, basically end up doing everything together. And I actually think that can be quite a hard situation to be in when you're in a relationship, because you're spending then literally all day, every day with the same person. Yeah. You know, it's quite nice when you're in a couple and you both go to work and you talk about how your day was, or you come home and you both sit and discuss what happened that day and you kind of have kind of separate lives. When you're intertwining that and you're working together, then you go home together, you kind of don't get away from them. And I'm sure that works for some people, you know, people that are madly in love and all that sort of stuff. But I do think it's nice to have a bit of a break from people when you do go to work.
Definitely. I mean, look at lockdown is the perfect example of that. You know, even me, myself, I work all day and then there's no ending. My office is my living room and then I watch TV and I'm still working. And then it's like, God, I don't even know what I'm doing right now, who I am. So to then be, if you're not working with your, say, partner, you then become a work colleague because you're both using the same space. There is no bye, I'm going to get on the tube home. It's everything together. I mean, to me, that's just intense.
Very, very intense. And I think it takes a special kind of relationship to make working, living, and all of that sort of stuff together. It takes a real special, solid foundation relationship to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Because I think I would struggle.
God, yeah. I mean, I think it's check-ins, isn't it? Having that communication and check-in, like however you need it, every week. Are we good? You still good with your corner of the living room and on my corner of the living room? Like,
you've just made a really good point there. I think the key to any relationship, especially one like that, is communication, isn't it? And having that check-in. I mean,
yeah.
Coming from a guy who's had a string of failed relationships because my communication skills are fucking dreadful. But maybe if I took a bit more of your advice, and for anyone listening, communication is key. That little check-in sounds like a good idea.
Do you know what? They've saved me. It's not the nicest thing. Like, should we have a check-in? It's like, what are we checking in about? But you need to. It's two adults having a mature conversation. Are you good? Yeah, I'm good. This is a chance to speak. Like, let's talk about this really. Is there anything we need to tweak?
And do you do that before or after Sexington Bears?
Just before. So it makes it really passionate.
Like it. Okay, so this week's guest.
Yes. So Neil Jones, he is best known for being a professional dancer on Strictly Come Dancing. In 2019, he had his first celebrity partner, former Arsenal footballer Alex Scott. I think we just bring him on and let's talk to him about workplace romances. So.
He's the man in the know. He's had a very high profile one, hasn't he?
Very, yeah. Welcome, Neil.
Shall we give ourselves a little name, like PC? PC to Neil.
Yes.
There we go.
He's in. I like your little plant in the background, very edgy.
And I like your little waistcoat, mate. You look, listen, you dressed up for us.
Mate, I've got nothing else to do.
Okay, no, you look very smart, mate. I look like I just woke up out of a weedie bin. You look good, mate.
Well, I'm just going to tell you this. That's artificial.
Is it? It still looks... It looks very homely. It's very centre. It's nice. Very symmetric. It's
good. This is my little chill zone where I kind of get my book out and have a little read every now and again.
It's your zen zone,
Wow.
Zen zone. That's what it's about.
He reads a book. He's got a plant. It's bloody brilliant.
Right. Neil, before we get into this week's topic, which is workplace romances, we're going to do a couple of little quick fire questions with you. All right.
Okay.
Cece, do you want to start us off?
Sure thing. So just quick, snappy answers. Date night in or out?
Out.
Kissing or cuddling?
Ooh. Let's go cuddling.
Giving gifts or receiving gifts?
Giving. I'm definitely a giver.
That's good to know, my man. Dating apps or meeting in person?
Meeting in person, 100%. Yeah, I'm old-fashioned.
No, you can't go on. No, explain yourself.
No, I'm old-fashioned in that way. I hate all of these dating apps and things like that. I like to just meet someone and talk and get their energy, you know.
So does that mean, Neil, you like chatting people up? Is that what we're saying?
No, you know what? I'm not that type, actually. I'm more like I might just catch someone's eye or something like that and let it go with the flow, how it goes. But I never look for anything. No.
It's always the best way.
Nice.
Dream job or dream partner?
Dream partner.
Chat up line or straight to the point?
Straight to the point.
Big spoon or little spoon?
Big spoon.
Yeah, good answer, mate.
Yeah.
Single or taken?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I'm gonna say single.
Oh, I thought we should have a little exclusive then. Doof, 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 doof.
Oh, I thought you meant which one would you prefer? Yeah, I'm definitely single. Oh, yeah, I'm 100% single.
No, I'm 100%. Let's just get this out there.
Yeah, okay, can we just get that out there? Yeah. I am single.
Should we repeat the question? Okay, fine. But so if you were saying that you would prefer to be that one, that prefer to be single, is that what you said? Was that your answer or taken? Sorry.
Yeah, at the moment, I've been in relationships for a long time. So it's at the moment I'm going... It's about me. It's about finding me right now.
You are talking to the right people. This is, we might change the name. I've decided, Pete. It's going to be called the Zen Corner.
Yeah.
PC Zen Corner.
PC Zen Corner.
Oh, I like that. That's good.
We just get chilled. We get open. We get chatty. Love this.
So this week's topic is workplace romances. Something that you know a little bit about. Something I know a little bit about. Not worked out too well for either of us, has it? Give us your take on a workplace romance. Do you think they're a good idea, a bad idea?
I think it's a mixture, because also when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the whole time when I used to compete and I was dancing, and we always got asked the question, when you dance with your partner, you know, is it better to be in a relationship or not? And I've, throughout my life, well, I danced for competing for about 31 years.
Wow.
And then...
Neil, how old are you, mate?
Almost 40.
Wow.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Sit over your moisturiser, mate, because I'm he's older than you already.
Is that totally, mate? It's all the zen. It's all the zen.
What's in that fucking plant?
It's not. And it's just on the cider as well. Just enjoying the cider during the daytime.
Mate, I'm there. I'm on the gin and tonic.
Yes. it's, you know, it's one of those that everyone asks. And I've... Throughout the competing world, I think I danced with about 16 different partners over the time. And I was only together with three of them. The rest was just purely we danced together. And then people would ask me like, well, you know, what's the best way? And I just say, you know, there's good and bad with both. Because when you dance with someone and you're in a relationship, you're working with them 24/7. And it's very difficult to mix home life and work life. Because that moment, for instance, if I was creating some choreography and then I can be quite direct. I'm a nice guy, but when it comes to choreography, I'm direct with the dancers. Like, okay, I need you over there, just straight to the point.
You don't take any shit.
No, you can't. You don't have time, because if someone's turning around to you and saying, we need this routine done in 3 hours and they need to perform it, you can't. And then, you know, if it's someone you're in a relationship with and you're like, I need you to do that. And they go, well, I don't care what you think. I need you to do that. You can do that. And I get spoke to like that by choreographers, and you just take it because you know they're doing their job. But if you're in a relationship with somebody,
that comes home with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Women, what
do you want
that.
For dinner? Why don't you fuck off?
Yeah. So well, you made all the decisions earlier on, so why don't you make one now?
Yeah.
So what would you say, like, if you've had an argument on the Monday night, right, and it's got pretty heated and you haven't resolved it, and then you've got to go to work together the next day and you've got to shimmy around a room together, how does that go down? How do you separate, or do you not? You just, like, argument and dancing?
No, you just...
Neil, just before you answer that, Cece, could you just do that shimmy again for us?
Yeah, I want to see that.
Don't worry about my shimmy. I will show that after. That's only, you saw it once, you can't see it twice.
We've got this recorded, haven't we? This is great. It's going out.
Neil, back to you.
You know, okay, I'm a Taurus, and normally, like, we're hot-headed and all like this, but I've learned over the time just to chill. So for me, I just let it go. I'm just, it's not in my head. If she's going da-da-da-da like that in my ear, I just ignore her. It just
So let's turn it around. What if it's you that's got the ump?
Yeah.
Right, from an argument or something's not been resolved, and then you have to go and work with that person the next day. Can you let that go as well if you're the one with the ump?
Yeah, I can.
Are you a bit bitey?
No, I can be. What I do is I give a cold shoulder, but every now and again, I'll just give out a little sly comment. But you know what? I have a laugh with it as well, and that's normally how I get out of it. But even with some of the guys, if we're doing choreography and something's said, I just say something, and everyone just goes, "Ooh, that was a little bit too much," you know. So, but we all just joke about.
Presumably, obviously, especially in your world, because it is quite common for people to date their partners, isn't it? Their dance partners.
Oh, yeah.
So what's it like for people, say it's not you in the relationship, but you're working alongside a couple who are, you know, together, dancing together, if they've had a Barney or whatever else, what's it like for the other people being around that?
If you're not used to it, it's awkward. It is really like the friction. On the weekend, I was... Like, everything's over Zoom right now. And on the weekend, I was doing some choreography with some friends in Spain. They've got to get ready for a TV show. But they started having an argument during the Zoom.
And amazing.
I just started laughing. I burst out laughing. I went, I miss this so much. It's hilarious.
Please argue.
Yeah, keep going, keep going.
I think that's the thing for anyone. When you see a couple argue, as long as it's not, like, super serious, everyone does kind of sit there with a popcorn, don't they? Just like that. You can't help it. You just get fun.
Right.
I add to it. So if I see
you're a fucking shit stirrer.
Definitely. Oh, did you just see what he did to you then behind your back? And she's like, what?
I wouldn't take that, Debbie.
Yeah.
So based on your experience of work-life romances, would you do that again? Would it be something that you would say yes, no to?
You know what?
Let's just clear up that. So you and Katya are not together.
No.
You still work together.
Yeah. We're fine.
Yeah. So you've had a relationship that is with someone that you've worked with and all that sort of stuff, and you're no longer together. So the experience of that, would you do it again?
In all honesty, I think I would. But it's always, I'd say it's all about the conversation. It's all about the boundaries and knowing that men... I'm just going to put it out there. Men are a lot easier than this with women.
Sorry, I missed that part.
It comes down to the whole thing of, through my experience, I can let it go. And all the, you know, with the girls, they find it hard to let it go, you know? So I tend to be the one that has to go, all right, I'm sorry. And then, do you mean that? I really mean it. I'm sorry.
So you bow down for the goodness of getting shit done.
Yes.
Yeah, but we know when you're doing that. We know that. We know when you say sorry and then you finish it with a but.
I learned that a long time ago. Never say but.
Never say but.
It's not, I'm really sorry, but we've got it. No, yeah. I'd be like, I'm really sorry and I shouldn't have done that. And she'd say, yeah, but, and I say, I know you're 100% right. You're 100% right. Yeah.
Killer with kindness.
Yeah.
I thought we were about to have a little domestic that I was going to sit and watch then. So thank you for reining that in, guys. Thanks for letting it go. But that kind of touches on what you said earlier on, Cece, isn't it? About having that little kind of check-in and communication being the most important part if you are with someone 24 hours a day, working, living together and all that sort of shit. And Cece, is it something that you do with your fella now, yeah?
Well, yeah, all the time. I think I've done it in the last few relationships, just sort of learning it's the best. It's difficult because men don't always like to talk. So when you're like, babe, should we talk? It's probably like, oh, fuck, here we go again. But it's a check-in. It's not a like, should we have a chat? It's, yeah. You know, how are you, where are we at? You good? Anything we need to bring up? Is everything okay? Anything that's pissing you off? Because it really just opens up a conversation because you go on.
So, Neil, do you think that's a fundamental part of being able to make a workplace romance a success is having that communication, being able to say, listen, let's just fucking check in here. We're good as gold, or let's leave that behind us.
You have to. Like, the whole time we were competing, we had a mental coach. So we would check in once
a week. You mean mental, not like a nutty coach?
No. Like, you know, up here, making sure that we're on a plan and all like that. And you have to. You have to just have the conversations. But also what you have to do is, we worked out, not do it together. Go to the same person, but I don't believe in all this couple therapy, because the issue is when you start having a conversation and then the therapist is listening, it's very easy for that person to turn around and go, what they're trying to say. And then the other one goes, oh, so you're ganging up on me now. Whereas if you both do it individually, and you have the conversations, and this is how I feel, the therapist then can come back to you and go, this is what I want you two to work on.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. Cece, you've, I feel like I'm winding you both up here. Cece, you've had couples therapy.
Yeah.
You think it's great, no?
I do, and I understand where you're coming from with that. I do get it. I think there were definitely moments that I felt like that coupled up thing, but they were truths I needed to hear. So those moments that I felt like, you know, maybe our therapist was like, Cece, it was stuff I needed to hear. And I'd be on the defense. And then she's seeing what I do in my relationship. No, it's his fault. And so I think it's good to see your partner doing that and listening. Like, I learned so much from just listening, because I'm very good at talking over people. So listening to my partner hear their pain is like, oh, that hurts. Shit, I didn't know I did that.
And one thing we were talking about before you came on, Neil, was if, obviously you and Katya have got a great relationship now, but quite often that doesn't happen. If you continually have to work with that person after a romance has died, presumably you've had that before, how fucking difficult is that?
Can I say this in all honesty? With any of my exes, I still get on with all of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. I've never even, like, ex
fucking teach me.
It's, do you know what it is? It's that understanding that you're both not in the right place together. It's not because someone's bad or something like that. Even if something bad happens, I'm still a strong believer that it's just
good, good people do bad things sometimes.
Yeah, and the thing is, you might feel it's bad, but at that moment, they don't believe it's bad. And the thing is, it's just about understanding and trying to see their point of view on something. And I've been a strong believer of that and just try to understand things always. Then I've never had one moment with any ex where I'm like, I never want to see you again. I know like one of my exes, she's living in California, she's got twins, we talk every now and again. Yeah, it's all good.
Do you think they're not my
twins, just to let you know.
Do you think that's because there was no sort of betrayal or disrespect, because you know there's a line, isn't there, and once you've crossed
I've had that quite a few times, but it doesn't, you know, it's one of those things, again, what we say, that can happen, and people throughout lives can make mistakes, but it's just understanding of it, you know, why that's happened, you know, what's the difference. And sometimes it's quite nice that you, after a few years, you have a conversation.
Yeah.
What actually happened, you know, and then you find more things out about yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with that, because good people do make mistakes. We all make mistakes. And you spend your whole life learning. You never stop learning, do you?
No.
And I think as long as people kind of, that's why hindsight, I mean, I said it last week, is such a beautiful thing, because sometimes you can look back on experience that was so horrendous and painful, whatever else, and actually see the positive from it.
Yeah.
So it's a really good way of looking at things, mate.
It helps.
That says a lot, I think, about the people. If you can manage to sort of have a have some type of communication with an ex-partner. And that is amazing. Even like you've just said that you, even if there has been a, maybe a betrayal, someone's put, you know, walked away with their head up high and gone, I'm not going to take this personally. And I'm, you know, it's just you, your space right now.
Yeah.
Wow. That you are in the, that plant is doing you some good.
It's doing me some good.
That plant.
I'm reading this book at the moment. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. The Daily Stoic. I think it's pronounced Stoic. Amazing.
Stoic.
Stoic, like S-T-O-I-C.
Stoic.
Yeah. Incredible. And you just read one page a day and it's all about your own mind. The only thing you can control is your own mind. That's it. You can't control your body. You can't control anything. Just your decisions you make.
Do you think, this is slightly off topic, but do you think this kind of lockdown over the past year and having to spend a lot more time on your own and a lot more time reflecting on things because you're not able to go out and do things has kind of made you not find yourself, because it's so cliche, but understand yourself a little bit more than what you did before? Because, I mean, I said this to you, Cece, I think it has for me, because it's given me time to sit back from running about doing things all the time and actually think, fuck me, what are the flaws in my personality? What are the things I need to work on to make me a better person? Do you think that's happened? Is it like a newer thing, or is it something you've always done?
No, I think so. I think like in the first lockdown, because we were all busy, it was almost like a little break. So you enjoyed it. You're like, oh, this is great, you know? And I was even saying to myself, oh, if we could have this once a year, you know, this would be great. But then, they say this is a third lockdown, don't they? And the second one I didn't know because we were working. So by the time it got to this one, I think this has been the hardest one, because I just say to myself, I want to live again. Like at the moment, I just feel like I'm existing, and I don't like that feeling of existing. I want to live. So yeah, I have a lot of things like reading, trying to understand what I want to do. But the biggest thing I have to say is I'm very much a person that thinks about others, making sure that everyone around me is happy. This is the first time I've gone, nah, I need to be more selfish in a good way.
Nice.
Yeah,
we love
about that. Yeah, go on. Yeah,
no, go on.
Go on, Pete. Namaste. To you, Pete.
We discussed selfishness, you know, a couple of weeks ago with Lucy, wasn't it? Lucy Spragan.
And
we discussed that selfish, and the word selfish has got such a negative connotation to it, but actually it can be a really positive and useful thing that people need to practice a little bit more. And I completely echo what you just said, though. I've sort of done the same thing in this lockdown, where I've thought, do you know what, I need to look after myself a little bit better. Because at the end of the day, if you are one of them people that likes to give to other people and help other people out, you can't help anyone until you help yourself. You have to be in the right frame of mind to be able to do that. And you do have to be a little bit selfish, you know, sometimes, to put yourself in that frame of mind.
I think even in relationships, it's so important, because in a way, if you are selfish in a good way and you're thinking about yourself, you give off an energy, and that energy is sexy. There's a confidence there that attracts people to you.
So how can you be selfish in a relationship that is a workplace relationship then, in terms of the fact you're spending so much time together? Where can you find the time for you?
That's a hard thing. So there I turn around and I think about the other person as well. So I'd say if I've been working with them all day long and I've come home now, and it's almost like, okay, today we do want to spend some time together. So we want to sit on the sofa and just watch a movie, and you know what, be together. It's not about talking, it's just
quality over quantity.
Exactly. And I think that's what it's about. But also appreciating, if you're with someone and they say, I'm gonna go and do this, you don't have to say, do you want me to come with you? Nah.
Yeah,
enjoy it, have fun. Yeah, have a nice
time.
You
enjoy yourself.
You know, it's a simple thing. When everything opens, if you've got a partner and they're like, you know, I'm going to go see my friends or something for the weekend, have a nice time, enjoy it. You know, because you have to think about yourself, that sometimes you want to do that as well. And if you're in a relationship and you're like, oh, I can't, because they're going to get upset if I go and see my friends. You know, that's how I think a relationship's going to last longer. If we realize that we're not together, we're human beings, we're individual, and we have our own minds. And so I've got a friend, they were together for years. And the first time I went around to their flat, they were showing me that they had this 2-bed flat in Croydon, and they were like, oh, come and see it, we just got it. And I was like, nice. I walked in, they were like, oh, this is my room. And the girl was showing me her room, and I was like, nice. And I was just not paying attention. And then she was like, and this is, you know, my boyfriend's bedroom. And I went,
Wow.
But you two are together. And they were like, yeah. And I went, but you have your own bed, sink, you know, different bedrooms. And they're like, yeah. And I went, why? And they went, well, it just makes it more interesting. You know, when we want to sleep together, we sleep together. When we don't and we want our own space, we have our own space. And it's more interesting for us. And I went, wow.
What a fucking great idea that is.
That's interesting. Yeah.
No, and snoring, no feet in your face. Amazing.
Cece, I'm sure your snoring's not that bad.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, game time. Are you ready?
I'm not sure I'm ready after last week's one, I'll be honest with you. But,
yeah, Neil, he got stitched up fully last week.
Why?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, so.
Oh, no, I think I listened to this one. You're actually there having a date.
Well, no, it was a lie. I just want to point out again for a second week in a row, it was a lie. But the fact that I didn't know if it was a truth or a lie was probably the worst part of it. I should have just kept my mouth shut. So, Cece, do you want to explain this?
Yeah, so we're going to, well, we'd like you to tell us three stories.
Yeah.
Two of them will be the truth and one will be a lie.
Okay.
And we're going to guess. So we get one question each per story, okay? So I'm going to get my pen out.
And currently, Cece is the champion at this. She is Sherlock Holmes over there.
Listening.
It's her instincts, isn't it? It's female instincts. She knows when he's lying.
Very good at this, whereas I can't tell for shit.
Right, go on, Neil. Number one.
Okay, so number one, I was in America. So I used to go over there quite a bit for training. And we went across to Las Vegas from LA. We just drove through with a few friends. And there was a few other dancers there that were competing. And there was one girl I was talking to. So this was quite a few years ago. We were talking together and she was like, do you want to go for some dinner? And I was like, yeah, okay, let's do it. So we had a meal, all going well, seemed like a really nice girl. And then we said, should we continue to like the bar, have a drink and that? Yeah. And as we're walking, we're going past the blackjack table. And she's just asking me like, are you into gambling and all like that? I wasn't. I was like, no, not really. You know, I don't like to lose money that I've earned. So I was like, and I'm one of those that's not good at gambling. I normally lose. So I was like, not really. And she was like, well, do you want to just do it for a bit of fun? I was like, why not? Let's do it. So we both sat down. And I think it was about $50 we both put down to play. I can't remember exactly, but I think it was about that. So we put the money down, started playing. It was going quite well. I was also winning. So I was kind of happy, but I was just enjoying it more. And for me, my mentality was as long as I don't care if I lose the 50, but you know, it's not, I don't want to put any more money in.
That's your limit.
That's my limit. So she's playing and she started losing. And she then put more money in. And she kept putting more money in. But the thing was, I wouldn't mind that because it's like, it's your money, do what you want. But she was getting a bit over the top with it, as if like she had an issue, like a gambling problem. And then she turned around to me and asked if she could borrow some money. And I was like, I don't really have any. You can have this, like, and I gave her like two of my chips because I was up. And she was like, cool. And then she's playing and then she lost it again. And she was just so frustrated. And she went, well, I'm going to the bathroom. I'll come back in a minute. And I was like, all right. She went to the bathroom. I got my chips and I just left. And I was like, I'm out of here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was like, that's not someone I want to be around. No, she had issues.
First one is the gambling problem. Okay. Next story. Are we going to do questions at the end, Cece?
Yeah? Questions at the end, yeah.
Okay, so met a girl. We'd gone on a, first we just met up for like, I don't know, lunch. Lunch date. Really nice, sweet girl completely. Didn't know much about her, but you know, we had a few things in common, but I just liked her energy. So a week later, I was like, do you wanna go and see a friend's dance show? And she was like, yeah, went along. Again, really, really nice and all like that. And I like to keep my private life private. And when we were there, it was a little bit funny because, you know, some people then noticed me because they're all dancers. So she was kind of walking away. But I kind of liked that she wasn't like trying to jump in. So I was like, okay, that's nice. She's not one of these that you want to get in the limelight and all like that. And then I was planning to go on holiday. I think it was like 2 weeks later. And I went, you know what? Let's just live. So I said to her, do you want to come with me? Do you want to come with me for the week? And I was going to Dubai. And I booked in at the Five Palm. So I said, and she was like, okay, like, you know, what do I need? And I went, no, you don't need anything. Like, I've got the flight ticket sorted. So, and I've got the room and all like this, like, don't even worry. And I said, look, nothing on you. It's a suite. So there's two separate bedrooms. It's not that you're, you know, I'm not trying something on you. And I just thought, if it's going to work,
not trying, I'm just hoping.
Yeah. And I can't remember what it was, but it was something else just before. Something's a bit weird. And at that point, because I wasn't in a relationship and I'd gone on a date with somebody else, and the other person I kind of liked a little bit more. So I took the other person with me instead. And I just said to the other person that something happened and the flights were cancelled and we couldn't go. And I ended up going on holiday with the other person.
What a guy.
You don't fuck about. All right. So that's number two is pie, holiday pie.
I'm gonna holiday call that one. Pie.
We've got okay. Gambling problem and holiday pie.
Yeah. Brilliant. The last one. Was so again gone on a date with a girl a couple of times, and then I can't even remember how I met this one. She most probably slid into the DMs or something like that, and we went out again, like seemed like a nice girl, but you never know, like the first few dates you never know how it's going. And and then my mates and that, they were like, have you ever done one of these panic rooms?
Is this where you have to get the clues and you have to try and get out?
Yeah, yeah.
I've not done one, but I've heard quite a bit about them.
Yeah. So my mates were like, you know, and some of my mates are female, some are guys, and they were like, oh, do you want to go do this like panic room? And I was like, yeah, all right. And I thought, oh, I'll bring that girl with me, you know, see what my mates think about her. So we're doing this panic room and I'm competitive and all my friends are competitive, but this was a different level. She was psycho. Like she was screaming. This is like Monica from Friends. She was screaming at us. Like when we're trying to get clues, she was literally like, so someone's reading out and she's going, faster, come on. Like, and we were all like, she was getting so intense. And we're going from room to room. And the last room I remember, it was like nuts. This was intense. Basically, as you started doing the clues, the roof started coming down.
It just starts.
I'm sure that it only gets to one point. I'm sure no one dies in it or something like this. But she's literally going at us, like, and she's throwing things around and searching and all like that. One of the guys pulled a lever and this little doorway opened up. So we all looked, she didn't notice. She was on this other wall, like grabbing at things, still screaming and shouting as we all went through the doorway.
You left her in there.
the doorway closed because the time that ended, and then the guy who was kind of operating went, oh, don't worry, I'll let her out now. And we went, no, leave her in there, and we all left.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. All right. So we've got gambling problem, holiday pie, and panic room.
Yeah.
Cece, question for gambling problem.
Do you know what? I'm gonna do something different this week. I'm just gonna go with no questions. No question.
See how cocky she's getting, right? She keeps getting this right. Right. Gambling problem.
Gambling problem, so mean. This is true, it's so mean.
We've not named her. Did you see her again after you left her there?
Yeah.
Did you see her again?
I did, but just at a competition from afar.
And what was said?
Nothing.
You just completely...
Yeah, it was just like...
Pretended it didn't happen.
Hey, you know, and just one of those. Yeah.
Holiday pie. My only question for that is, why the fuck did you stay at the Five? I haven't got a question on that one. But the last one, when she was getting really competitive,
yeah,
did it turn you on?
For fuck's sake, P.
You know, there's a moment because you're going, no, it's true. There's a moment you go, all right, I like this. But it went past that level. It went past the level that I thought, if I don't win something, if we go, you know, like you can do that axe throwing thing, she might go, I can do better. Stand against the wall and I'll throw the axes at you. Watch, I'll miss you. So I was like, no, it's too much.
So she was proper nutty.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
all right, definitely. Fine. They're my questions. Cece is going blind on this one. No questions.
So I'm going to go with my, I think the one that's false. Yeah. I'm not 100% on this actually this week, but I'm going to go with number two.
You think the holiday pie is a lie.
Yeah.
I think gambling problems are a lie.
You're both wrong.
Oh my God.
Oh my, yeah. First week ever. That's it. We quit.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you said that though, because I was getting a little bit cocky. I could feel myself. I feel a bit like dizzy almost. So three, panic room was a lie.
Yeah. Panic room was based on, it was a lie. It was actually with my ex, but we didn't leave her. She actually left us in the room. But she ran out and she just pushed us all back and we kind of realized, but she wasn't over competitive, but I based it on that. But yeah, that's a lie.
I feel so sorry for this girl at the Dubai one that you just left, deserted, booked her for a holiday and then unbooked her. My goodness.
Do you know, I'm going to be really...
I think Pete's done something like that a lot. Yeah.
I've done something similar. I actually booked a holiday for a girl I was seeing. We'd only been seeing each other about, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks. And I really wanted to go to Rome because I'd not been before. So I booked this holiday and we had a big row at the start of the week we were supposed to go. And so I told her I just wasn't going to go. And in that little time, I'd met some other bird and took her on a first date to Rome.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Do you know the prep that girls go through for a holiday? Like, it's like weeks in advance. If we've got short notice, you know, the nails, the waxing, the spray tan, the hair, the trim.
I'd be worried.
I have to do all that.
I'd be worried, though, if it takes 2 weeks to wax.
Well, yeah.
It's been a lockdown. Thanks. It's been a lockdown. It's been a year's worth.
Well, on that note, enough of hairy Cece. Neil, thank you so much for joining us. It's been
that has been
pleasure.
Great.
Thank you, Neil. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Take care, my friend.
Namaste.
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 See you later.
Said I, mate. Well,
I love these. I always feel a bit like I've just been like riding with in a soft top car and there's loads of wind in my face. Like almost like you have to take a breath because I'm so fascinated by people's stories. And I also love being wrong.
You love being wrong?
Yeah, I love being proved wrong because I do get a bit cocky sometimes. I'm a bit like, I was only joking.
I don't think you're cocky at all.
No, I'm fully fine with it. I accept it. And so that's why I like being wrong because then you get to learn something about people.
Well, I hate fucking being wrong, but it seems to be the thing that I do most. So I think I need to take on board what you're saying and just accept that I'm wrong a lot.
It's because I'm judging. That's exactly why, you know, I'm like, I've got this judged. That person's been judged and I get it wrong. So it's good. It means, you know.
It's a little wake up call.
Little wake up call. There we go.
So the final part of the show every week is always sometimes the most graphic.
Yeah, people get heartwarming, down and dirty. I like the spin on it, heartwarming, yeah.
Yes, listen, we can't have our minds in the gutter the whole time, Cece, come on. So yeah, graphic, heartwarming, it's the listener's stories.
It is.
Okay, so listener number one, we've got a dating story, and this is from Maria.
Hi, my name's Maria, I'm from London, and I wanted to share a bad first date story with you guys. So a while back, I went on a first date with a guy, which went really well. We had dinner and drinks. And afterwards, as we were leaving the restaurant, he was like, yeah, really cool. Want to see you again. So I'm thinking this is ace. But then he dropped the line of there's something you should know about me first. And no good story ever starts with that, really, does it? So I asked him what it was. And he told me that a while back, he'd spent some time in prison. So I don't want to be judgy, you know, you never know. And so I asked him what for, and he said, I'm going to give you my full name, and when you're in the cab on the way home, you should look it up on Google. So I'm thinking, oh dear Lord, what is this? So jump in the Uber, my butt hasn't even hit the seat, and I Googled his name, and turns out he had been in prison for murder. So suffice to say, there was not a date number two.
Wow.
Poor old Maria. Went on a date with a murderer.
Oh, my God.
Do you know what? The way Maria told me that story, the thing that kind of sticks out in my head is how proud he seemed. Yeah. I'll tell you what you should do, yeah. Babe. Google me.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate, you fucking killed someone. The last thing I would tell people to do is Google them. I'd want to, if that had happened, listen, playing devil's advocate, if I had killed someone, we all know what the press is like. It's not always facts, is it, about what actually happened. True. I'd want to tell my side of the story to someone if I actually like them, rather than going, just Google it. All the facts are there, babe, don't worry. Do you know what I mean?
You also would not do that on the first date, would you? I mean, if you wanted to prove your story, like your truth, you maybe what wait till you got a bit of a connection first and then say there's something I should tell you or not. I don't know.
I don't know. That's a tough one because that is such a big thing. I almost feel like you have to own... That sounds weird saying that, but you have to own it by letting one know from the beginning, listen, I've been inside for murder. I mean, we don't know what it was for. It might, do you know what I mean? There's all sorts of different fucking reasons. Obviously, not, it's not going to be good. But I think if she'd actually really liked the geezer, depending what she read, I would want to know his side of it.
Yeah, I just like trying to because, think like...
I mean, not condoning murder in any way, shape or form, do you know what I mean? Like, but you, unless you know the backstory or...
Oh, I don't know, that's a hard one. That's really hard.
I mean, listen, all I can say to anyone listening out there is listen, don't murder people.
Next!
Moving on. We've covered a lot of things today,
Jesus Christ, we're going like from here to here to here, my goodness.
We've covered your shimmy, from your shimmy to a murder.
Back to dating, because my shimmy is so good that I'm not going to repeat it. Amber, let's listen to Amber's story.
And we've also got a picture to go with Amber's story.
My name's Amber Linney and I live in Aberdeen in Scotland. And my first date disaster was with a Tinder date. So he was 5'8", I'm 5'10". So I was obviously a little bit taller. But after several tequilas and wines, this didn't really make a difference. He was very sexy, looked like a pirate. So decided to walk in the direction of mine to obviously get it on. So when we were on the way there, I was like, look, you are a bit shorter than us. Let's address the elephant in the room. Let's see if you can take us. And he was like, what do you mean? Can I take you? And I was like, give us a piggyback. Like, can you physically take me? So he was like, yeah, okay, jump on. So I hopped on and he collapsed to the ground, smashing my shoulder off the pavement in the process. This then resulted in 3 operations. So after the first operation, I went back to Newcastle because I couldn't even wash myself without the assistance of my mum or my gran. So he came down to see if I was okay. I was not okay. I was codeined off my face for probably 3 months. But yeah, he came down, asked if I was okay. I was not okay. There was a lot of tension in the air. And yeah, the next thing I know, he had to go off to sea. So he worked on the boats and he went off to sea and I pretty much never heard from him again. So that smashing Nash to a whole new level, really.
Where's this picture? What's this? There we go. Right. Oh my God.
Right, let's have a little look.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh. Oh wow.
I mean, that is serious, isn't it?
This was their first date.
I mean, wait to leave a mark.
Wow. I'd be really pissed off if on a first date that you're left with that of someone that doesn't even spend. You know, if you're going to spend your life with them, all right, it's like a story to tell. Look what mummy and daddy did. You know, but when it's just once and that's it, I would be really pissed off.
When you go on another date, presumably if you are left with a scar, and someone goes, "How did you get that scar?" I wonder if Amber tells the truth and says, basically, I went on a date with a pirate and he threw me on the floor, or if she makes up St. Cole.
Well, it also says a lot about her character, right? I mean, clearly, like, they're up for a laugh. If she's saying, give me a piggyback, like, it's not always going to end in the right way. I mean, she's probably testing the guy, bless him. If he was, how tall was he? 5'8", and she's 5'. She was, how tall? She was quite tall.
Taller,
and she's asking for a piggyback. You know, when you're drunk, that's
accidents happen, don't they? But Amber, you sound like loads of fun. And if you are into pirates who are vertically challenged, then you know, next time in Newcastle, I'll give you a bell, babe. So if you can come back to us, because I want to find out whether or not you actually tell people that story, like other dates that you go on, or if you make up a cool story about the scar, and if you do, what is it?
Yeah, what's your cool story?
Yeah, if not...
How would that make you feel if you met a girl and she's got a really quite a deep, deep shoulder scar on her arm and she said this was from a date with one person?
I'd think I was in for a fucking good night. That's what I'd think. I'd think, right, get yourself another tequila, girl. Let's go. Anyway, that's it from today's show.
That's it. Another week down. My goodness. How quick does it go?
These weeks are flying by. Time flies when you're having fun.
Doesn't it? Thank you for always being you and bringing your A game.
Thank you for that wonderful hat and thank you for the shimmy and thank you for just being one of the most wonderful people in my life.
Oh, Pete, namaste to you.
Namaste, namaste. And thank you to Neil, our guest, and Amber and Maria, our dating story people. I didn't know what to call them then.
Peeps, thank you guys for listening.
See you next week on FUBAR at 6 p.m.